Today I'm excited to be welcoming onto Radio Gorgeous an astrologer and an astro-psychologist who features regularly on Daily Mail Online. She has columns on many magazines and newspapers in the UK and USA, and today we're talking about her new deck of oracle cards, which are based on Greek mythology. She is Alison Chester Lambert. Hi, a warm welcome to the show, Alison.
Oh, and it's so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to this.
So why do we need a new set of cards when we've already got the tarot, which seems quite reliable to me?
I agree. However, it's like new books coming out. Shall we not have another new book ever again?
Exactly.
there's always something we can learn from new frameworks that come out. I think I was actually kind of guided to get involved with this project. It was sprung on me just as Findhorn Press were being sold and passing to inner traditions. And the old chief of Findhorn Press was chatting to me about something else. And then said, "You've never had an idea for a new deck of cards, have you?" And I went, "Yes, actually, the Greek mythology cards. I've had these in the back of my head for 2 years." He said, "Can you get them out in 3 months?"
Oh, my God.
I said, "Well, when I say the back of my head, that's exactly where I mean it is, Thierry." He said, no, you can work fast. Work fast with Richard. This is an amazing idea. I need them in the spring catalogue," which was his last catalogue for Findhorn Press. So I went, "Yeah, okay." So honestly, for 3 months, I was a nervous wreck because we had a deadline and the marketing material had gone out. But I was absolutely guided. As each one finished, the next one came in at 5 o'clock the next morning. I think the cosmos wanted them.
Fabulous. So are they all women in the pack?
No, the glorious thing about the Greek pantheon was that the 12 lead Olympians comprised of 6 men and 6 women. But aside from that, they had an amazing array of different characters, from naughty ones to happy, sort of like don't care, drink all the wine ones, through to the studious ones. And they weren't all straight. I mean, they had homosexuals and they had transgender and all the lovely rainbow community of the Greek deities is very much, it matches the rainbow community of today, really. So I think we've got a rich tapestry from which we can draw there.
It sounds really exciting. Now tell us, have you had a classical education, Alison?
I've actually got a degree, a master's degree in cultural astronomy and astrology. But to take that master's degree, I had to do an enormous amount of studying of different religious frameworks, different spiritual frameworks, and mythology. Mythology, what we call mythology now, of course, was their religion. I studied the classical Greek religion and their way of living as along with everything else. So I kind of started with some knowledge, but I have to admit, I did have to do some very quick research for this project.
Exactly. So tell us about the feminine and why it's due for resurgence.
Ah, yes. This has been muted for some years now, and I was very gratified, actually, to do some research astrologically. So I was looking at it astrologically a few years back, and I noticed that there was a big change in the sky around 2020. We have previously had a very dominant Uranus. Uranus is a masculine planet, and it's been very dominant in Aries.
Yes.
connecting up with all the other planets. And then there's this passing of the baton, if you like, or this sudden change in the sky. I say sudden, it takes about a year, to Pluto. Pluto becomes the dominant planet, which is a feminine planet, more a nature, evolving planet. And Uranus just slides to the side. So although I don't think we get this re-emergence or resurgence of the feminine in a year, I don't think it all takes place in 2020. I think we all look back in 10 years and see that 2020 was a pivotal year for, well, what we can see now is changing. I mean, it's all around us, I think.
Exactly. So with the Me Too, with the feminist movement, with the transgender, everything, it's all kind of been, it's bursting through in a very Uranus-type way. Everything's fast and furious and sudden. And then Pluto will be more deep change, won't it?
I think what Uranus brought in was the eruption of information technology. So we went into a global digital society. We all got a lot more connected up with the birth of the internet. And that meant things went dynamically fast, which is a very masculine energy. But Mother Earth has not caught up. The feminine in all of us is reeling, really, with the onslaught of too much masculine activity. We haven't had enough time for our brains and our way of life to catch up, but more so the planet. The planet needs to catch up. So I think what we're looking at is a sort of a feedback loop whereby the feminine needs to be brought into the center, because we need that reflective downtime, catch-up time, which the feminine provides. So I think we need it, but I think we also are looking at it. We're part of it.
So I suppose that's part of us beginning to really take care of the earth, which we have really, you know, been in denial about. And it'll be like us connecting more and respecting the actual earth itself, e.g. plastics, the environment. Tell us about the feminine energy and what is it, because a lot of people wouldn't understand what that means.
Right, so feminine energy is yin energy. And let's look at just some examples around us. So we've got the sky, which we can call masculine, and the earth, which we can call feminine. We've got an emitter and a receiver in all things. So the emitter is masculine, the receiver is feminine. Electromagnetic energy bursts outwards, gravity pulls inwards. And you can see this, as I say, reflected in personalities. You get an inward, more reflective, mediating personality, or a dynamic, outgoing, extrovert personality. So it's the difference between introvert and extrovert. These are two polarities. So you've got yin and yang, masculine and feminine.
Okay, so that's beginning, people can understand now. So does the emerging feminine movement need a new kind of religion, a new divine, a new thing to look up to?
Well, this is a good point, actually, because if we look at the three main monotheistic religions, they all teach that there is one male god. Yeah. and they're pretty unforgiving with this. Yeah. They allow, well, God had a mother, Mary, but let's face it, you know, she doesn't take a huge role.
And she had to be a virgin. And she wasn't allowed to have fun.
And women have had to fight long and hard to be represented in the clergy of the churches, let's face it. You know, they're only getting there in a few instances now. So does emerging feminine need a new divine? Well, yes, it does, unless we say that feminists aren't religious. Well, I believe that they are deeply spiritual. So what feminists need and what the new emerging feminine needs is a different framework, a new framework, which includes the feminine. And I think until we get that, we're not really equal. You know, religion isn't equal. What was lovely about the Greek pantheon was that you have this equality, that there is six of the 12 Olympians at the top, there are six women, six men. And I think that makes it a much more fair framework in terms of having symbolism at the top of religion to which we can look for our role models.
Yeah, because I've always liked the idea of, I mean, if you look at Roman Catholicism, they've kept in the saints. And that's because they wanted kind of different idols that represent different things. And I think it's really good to have someone, and you look at sort of Hinduism, they have lots of different gods, someone that can do the job you're looking for instead of a kind of go all to person. And you can kind of focus more, can't you?
Absolutely. Because, yeah, exactly. It's the focus, isn't it? It's the attention. I mean, in this deck of cards, for instance, we've got the lovely horse. I can't remember the name of it. Isn't it funny?
Well, the centaur, I've got to get is through it? It in a minute.
Sorry?
Is it the centaur?
No, that's Chiron. I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, yeah. So we're Pegasus. There we go. So Pegasus represents nature. And so by including things like that, from frightening monsters through to underworld deities, and then just the ones that everybody recognises, sort of Eros, Hera, Hestia, by including also the lesser known ones, which didn't, that, you know, people wouldn't really know about them if they don't sort of look at the deck, then Trojan horse, well, everybody's heard of Trojan horse, but I've included all those things because it gives us a huge array of symbolism from which to draw, so that when we're looking towards the future, the cards are providing the symbolism that we can select from. They're not all sweet and light. There are some in there that are quite gritty, but I think that's useful in a deck of cards.
Can you give us an example of a female gritty one?
Penelope, for instance. So we're looking at the wife of Odysseus, who had to wait for him a lifetime for him to come back. Yeah. He went to fight the Trojan War, and then she waited and waited and waited for him to come back. And she had to reject lots of suitors, all of whom felt that he'd been gone so long, he wasn't coming back, etc. But she's a symbol of waiting an awful long time, but eventually he did come home. So Penelope is really saying reunion, but you'll wait an awful long time. I can't remember them all offhand, but we've got other sort of Persephone, for instance, transformation. Now, Persephone was with her mother in a field, and she was suddenly abducted and raped by the lord of the underworld, Hades, who took her down to his lair and made her his queen. But nevertheless, she was wrenched from the arms of her mother to get there. So just sort of real life characters like that, really.
They sound like they're all trying to find their inner selves through trouble, which is really what life's about, you know, getting to grips with your inner world, you know, your inner strength. Both women have to do that.
It's a good comment. Yes, it is a good comment. Mm. And I think that the Greeks were very clever. I mean, you only have to look at Plato. You just have to, and they really thought things through, you know. And so I knew when I started this, I thought these guys are going to crack this. You know, they're going to have a god and a goddess or deity for every single human experience, and they had. The difficulty was just sticking to 50 cards. So I wish I could have put them all in, but they certainly had a mythology, a religion, if you like, that gave the Greek people absolutely a deity for every living thing, or it's even the unliving things as well. So it was a fabulous, bewildering myriad amount of lovely activity to look at.
So, Alison, imagine that you've got the deck of cards. Would you do the same sort of Celtic cross and the sort of same symbols as a tarot card when you were doing the reading, or would you make up a new way of reading with them?
Well, I've been playing around with just picking a single card, and what it's done, it's described the what's going on for me at that time, but it's giving me a lot more understanding in what's behind it. And so I've been sort of like reflecting on something or other, and then I picked this card and I thought, oh, I didn't see it from that point of view. So there is that about them. You can pick three cards and you'll get a heck of a lot of information out of three cards. There is a book that comes with it, and each card has a message, a bit of background to the deity.
I was going to say you'd need that because we don't all know them, do we? Yeah.
Oh gosh, no. Mm. I mean, I think you'd have to use them. I tell you what you do get from using these cards. You get a lesson in Greek mythology. If you're interested in it and you start using the deck, you're carrying around with you a little book, which actually is like a mythology book. And pretty soon you'll start to know the Greek pantheon and work with them. And then they really come to life.
Well, it's great because I could test my son who's doing Greek at university.
Yeah, what a brilliant idea.
Greek. And my husband is classicist. I might get out the cards and test them on them and see if they know the stories.
Well, I because there are so many different stories written over hundreds of years, I have been challenged on a cup my interpretation or the interpretation I've taken a couple of times.
I bet.
But that's interesting because it means it's causing conversation.
Yeah. And it's alive. It's still alive.
Sorry?
It means it's still alive if people are still saying, no, I get that interpretation out of it.
Exactly. Mm. No, I was challenged by a Greek mythology student. And thankfully, I'd done, you know, the research. And so I was able to point out this lesser known text where what I said was actually correct.
Oh, thank God for that.
And so I was like, phew, thank goodness for that.
Now, I asked you to pull out a couple of cards for, you know, Radio Gorgeous, and you did that before you came on air. What cards came up?
I did. Iris and Persephone came up. Shall I read you what the Iris card is about?
Yes,
from
please.
The book?
I'd love to hear.
Okay. Yeah. So Iris arrives in the form of a rainbow and brings messages from Zeus or Hera, the queen of the heavens. Mm. Sometimes Iris might assume a mortal form, so you could get a message via another human being. But at other times, she will glide down a rainbow to deliver it, or simply be the rainbow itself. Iris was devoted to Hera, and she served her most faithfully as a handmaiden. She would also gather water and refill the clouds, brightening everything with the radiance of her multicoloured robe. So there we've got the bit about the past. Now, this is for the seeker. Mm-hmm. Like the other messenger god Hermes, Iris could travel in and out of the underworld, normally a one-way journey, and she would easily dive into the ocean or swim to deliver the royal sentiments. Be on the lookout for Iris and the message Hera or Zeus wants you to have. She might appear as a rainbow on the wall, reflected from a glass of water, or maybe from a prism of glass, or just as a rainbow across the sky. Good luck with capturing her.
Lovely. That's really beautiful.
And then I got Persephone for you as
and
well.
And what does Persephone, what you know, like that was like what Radio Gorgeous is. Is Persephone more like the future of Radio Gorgeous then?
I think what Persephone is about is transformation. Okay. Because as a young maiden, she was innocent and youthful, and then she was abducted. And so what she became, she was a seed, if you like, or a young sapling, and then look what she became. So seeds germinate and expand in the earth, and then they have their time in the cold and the dark where she was taken. But she grew there because she turned from a young maiden into a mother, into a wife, into a queen. So she took innocence and she changed into maturity. So this card says, if you feel like you're in the underworld now, you must know that your soul is unconsciously preparing for new wisdom and a fresh cycle. Soon, rapid growth will help you see the light.
Wow.
So I thought that was, that was a pretty appropriate card for a radio station that helps everybody get to the light.
Yeah, well, no, every person we interview has got a story to tell, and it's something that's sort of, that's been inspired by them to make it happen. So, you know, we do, people listen to us for kind of, people say, I get so much from it because there's always something new on. You know, this afternoon I've got someone talking about crystals. Yesterday it was someone who lives La Dolce Vita, the Italian way of life, you know, and it's like, you can eat olive oil, you can drink olive oil and eat carbs every day. I'm giving people permission to kind of live, you know, their life to the full, I think, Radio Gorgeous, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's really, really interesting. Tell us, we'd contact your website, we'd buy the pack of cards. We could train ourselves then to become a reader for ourselves and to others. Do you believe that with these cards?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. I mean, I think what people need to have is a range of decks of cards available to them, because this particular deck is very unusual. They're very kind of specialist and might suit just a certain energy. You just feel like, I need something meaty, so I need the Greek mythology cards because they've got so much in them. But it would be a mistake not to have a deck of tarot cards available, because there's times when you just know the tarot card's the right deck. And then you might also have a deck of something very pink and fluffy, because this is, you really need something pink and fluffy. You don't want anything gritty. I think, as readers, what we need to understand is that moment that we're going to capture with the cards is a moment that is unlike any other moment before or any other or any moment to come, and we need a choice available to us. And I think we also need to understand that the reading that we get, however, if it's one card, three cards, or a full Celtic deck, we need to understand that that is the interpretation from that moment out of all the possibilities around us. And obviously you can fold the cards and pull different ones, and so and that's another moment. So if you get the reading you like, hang on to it, don't do another one because you'll spoil the energy. And if you get a reading you don't like, okay, try and bend it your way. Half an hour later, do a different reading and see if you can get it better. And if you get the one you want, then stick with that one. We can co-create the future. When we do a reading, it's not set in stone. We still have power to bend the energy and co-create something different.
That's just such a good way of looking at life. I just like it's a great philosophy. Through every trauma or discourse, we can find something, the rainbow in that comes out of it.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I think what happens sometimes when it comes to cards, people can give up their free will to what the card said. Yeah. Oh, the card said this, he's not coming back, so therefore he's not coming back. Mm. And what I think we need to know is that, you know what, you could draw different cards in half an hour. It's because right around us at that moment that we first draw the cards is a range of possibilities. Now, the cosmos will just hand us one. If we are feeling disempowered, if we don't feel we have choices, then the cosmos will just pick one for us. So, you know, you'll get a flock of sheep because that was highly desirable in biblical times. But what you do need to do is know of your power. So this would have been the outcome had the cosmos just organized it. So you need to think to yourself, right, well, I'm not having that. I'm going to change this. I'm going to re-empower myself. I'm going to have a different future. And your mind is so powerful that I believe that we can sway the cosmos, the future it would have taken, we can sway it more towards our way of thinking. Now, it won't stop us from having a huge lesson that we need to have, maybe isn't coming back, but there may be other things around it that we can improve. So maybe we could be good friends for the rest of our lives. You know, I think people need to know they have more power than just give it all up to the cards.
I really like that. So it's the opposite of the fatalistic attitude is what people have had in kind of history, especially around the time of ancient Greece and Rome. I mean, they totally believed, you know, If it was bad, the stars were bad, something bad was going to happen. They kind of nearly willed it to happen, didn't they?
Yeah, but there actually was also a school of thought where if they got a bad oracle reading, that what they would do is they would make a sacrifice to a god or goddess of their choice, and then go back to the oracle and see if it had changed anything.
How do we do 21st century sacrifices without killing a sheep?
It's interesting, isn't it? I think there are people who believe that yes, you make a sacrifice of a favorite piece of pottery or a bottle of wine or something. Wow. I mean, there are some schools of thought that do that. Wow. But I actually think that instead of making a sacrifice, do something that changes the energy. Yeah. At the end of the day, a sacrifice is creating a death so that there could be rebirth. Mm-hmm. Now, when a leaf falls off a twig in autumn, it leaves behind it the bud for next year. So we need to understand that in every death, there is rebirth waiting to happen. So instead of sacrificing something or something real, sacrifice some of your mindset. Give up on one of your beliefs. Are you being too belligerent, perhaps? Are you looking at something too stubbornly from one direction? Are you not looking at the whole thing? So the sacrifice could be something in your mind that is stuck, and therefore it could release you to look at something with different eyes and therefore get the rebirth.
So it could be like getting rid of toxic people in your life, or accepting acceptance as well is a big one. You know, a lot of people resist, like you're saying, if the man has gone or the woman has gone, a lot of people sort of are in denial about it. Sometimes you just got to say, I'm going to accept it and let it go and let something else come in its place. You're opening it up.
Absolutely. In great death, there is great birth. And sometimes we forget about the birth because we're so concerned with the death. Yes, we have to mourn death. Absolutely. It's part of our psychology to go through that ritual. But we need to lift our eyes up also and look for the rebirth.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for making us feel all very rebirthed today, Alison.
I've loved it. You ask amazing questions. Thank you.
Well, I'm very interested in the world you're in. So if anyone wants to buy the cards or talk to Alison on Skype, I know you can't believe it, the sound is so good. She can talk globally to people around the world. She can give readings. She can do astrology for you. She could do tarot for you. She could do the mythology cards. You go to alisonchesterlambert.com and there'll be more details on our website. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous today.
Thank you. Loved being here. Thank you. Have a great day.
It's an absolute pleasure. And for even more goddesses, always go to Radio Gorgeous. Thank you.